This is Time and Other Thieves, reflections on another month of living and learning. Happy April to you. I'm Sarah B., and I've been thinking about Thomas Aquinas. More specifically, I've been thinking about what he said just a few months before his death in March of 1274. He'd had some sort of profound revelation on the feast of St. Nicholas in 1273, and had suddenly stopped writing, which was odd, given that he, scholastic theologian and doctor of the church, had spent most of his life putting pen to paper. When a friend asked him why he wasn't writing anymore, Thomas said that the end of his literary labors had come. Quote, "All that I have written appears to be as so much straw after the things that have been revealed to me." What he'd been working on before his mysterious revelation silenced him was none other than Summa Theologica, or Summary of Theology, which is his best-known work, and which extends over 5 volumes and 3,000 densely printed pages. So to say that all he'd written seemed like straw was quite the statement to make. And it's a statement that's endeared me to Thomas Aquinas ever since I first came across it as a graduate student at Goddard College, learning about the history of psychology. And what I love the most about it is that nobody knows exactly what Thomas meant. Was his statement a retraction of everything he'd written? I get the impression that Catholics don't like to think so, but it seems to me that that's what Thomas must have been saying. He was saying that what he'd written didn't matter, that it carried no weight. How is that not a retraction? Regardless, why have I been thinking about this? I haven't had any profound revelations lately, at least not more profound than usual. I have, however, felt like there isn't much point in writing these podcast episodes. Obviously, they are in no way comparable to Summa Theologica, but since June of 2021, they've felt like something I can do, something I can offer to the philosophical, spiritual, and sometimes religious conversation that we humans are always having on some level with ourselves and others. I'm still having ideas and am still excited by ideas as much as I ever was. It's just that I don't feel like sharing them anymore in this particular format, at least not on a monthly basis. I feel like I've covered everything I'd like to cover. I'm tired of writing about books, which is mostly what I did for the first year and a half of this show's existence, back when it was airing on the radio. I'm tired of talking about my life, which is mostly what I've done since stepping down to a podcast-only format. And I'm tired of talking about current events, which is something I've been sprinkling throughout the episodes all along. It's basically all the same stuff, isn't it, with the current events? People are behaving badly again. We should be angry. If you're not angry, you're not paying attention. I disagree. And honestly, I'm more disappointed than angry. I mean, the fact that we have the same 2 presidential candidates to choose from this year as we did in 2020 is just thoroughly and devastatingly pathetic. Of all the political figures alive right now in this country, and we have to choose between those 2? Again? Clearly, the system is broken, but clearly it doesn't help to say that the system is broken, and that's really all I have the energy to do right now, so I'm just going to say nothing, aside from calling it pathetic. And I will say this also. If the expression of the universe that we call Donald Trump gets elected president, then we as individuals will need to become more loving, more kind, and more compassionate, because his getting elected will be undeniable proof that we as a society of individuals, are profoundly bereft of love and kindness and compassion. We must not use such a terrifying and maddening election result as reason to be less loving, kind, and compassionate. I also like what Jon Stewart said about this on his first episode as host of The Daily Show after taking a 9-year hiatus. He basically said it doesn't matter all that much who gets elected, because either way, we'll all still have to keep fighting the good fight, whatever that fight is for us. For some people, the work is overtly political. Not so for me. At least not yet. For me, the work is internal, It is spiritual. It is the work of befriending myself more and more every day so that no matter what happens in this shit show world, I will have everything I need within me to effectively deal. But that's not all. My work is also interpersonal or relational. I want to improve how I relate to others in my life, loved ones and strangers and acquaintances, and I want to help others improve how they relate to others. Which is why I plan to start running therapy groups in the summer, or maybe fall, and why I've signed up for a group therapy training through the Center for Group Studies. Yes, another program! I finished the copy editing certificate program just a couple weeks ago, and I've already signed up for something else. But it doesn't start until May, so at least I have all of April to take her easy. At first, I resisted the urge to sign up for, and spend more money on, another training. This one takes place 3 weekends a year over the course of 3 years, for a total of 9 modules. But then I just decided to accept the fact that I'm a perennial student, and that's okay. I feel so lucky to have so many interests. It means I'm really living, and want to keep living, and learn everything I possibly can in whatever time I'm allotted here. And I will say one more thing apropos of current events. I recently listened to an episode of the NPR program On Point, hosted by Meghna Chakrabarty, and she was interviewing Nita Farahani, professor of law and philosophy at Duke University, whose latest book is called The Battle for Your Brain, Defending the Right to Think Freely in the Age of Neurotechnology. They were mostly talking about BCI technology, that stands for Brain-Computer Interface. Apparently, people have made earbuds that have electrodes in them that can detect your brain activity. Farahani has tested them out when engaged in different activities and has regularly used them for her meditation practice. Here's what she said on the show. I'm not great at self-meditation. Being able to both keep my focus and ability to stay in that state, but also, am I doing it right? But what's neat about these devices is the interaction with an application lets you get, in real time, what's called neurofeedback. So if I get my brain states into a way that brings down my stress level and shows that I'm in this kind of meditative state, you have signatures in your brain that can be detected and decoded that suggest that, then you get something like chirping birds or some other kind of audible feedback. Yeah. So, that's cool and everything, but I feel I must say this. Is anyone great at self-meditation? And while we're at it, isn't self-meditation redundant? Of course it's hard to keep one's focus, now more than ever, and all our various technologies have played a huge role in exacerbating that difficulty. So we're going to use more technology to make meditation easier? And we need to know that we're doing it right? How about we sit with the discomfort of not knowing, for fuck's sake? No, we need a machine to reward us. Sound familiar? With bird chirpy sounds. And of course, this only scratches the surface of what BCI technology can do. They're already using it in classrooms in China. Teachers can look at a computer screen and see the brain activity of every student in real time. They can see which students aren't focusing on the assignment, and thereby go help that child focus better. So BCIs are going to help children be better at school. Or that's the idea. But that's the fucking last thing our children need to be better at. Our children are getting more and more anxious and angry and depressed. You know what they need to be better at? Being children. Playing outside. Using their imaginations. Making friends. Becoming their own best friends, not sitting at a desk in a classroom for the better part of their lives, learning stuff they don't care about. They should be learning about what they do care about, and that way become more and more themselves, the only people they can be. Why should we be taught what other people have decided is important? Doesn't that defeat the whole purpose of being born such a unique individual? I've been attending Edward S.B. Brown's Zoom talks once or twice a week, as my schedule allows. He's a Zen priest, And recently he's been talking about how each of us inhabits our very own world. What's true or interesting for me may not be true or interesting for you. That's how it's supposed to be. And each of us must learn how to best inhabit our world. And how can we do that when others are insisting we learn how best to inhabit their world? As Edward says, we can call ourselves good if we master that skill. And then he recites Mary Oliver's Wild Geese, the first line of which is, "You do not have to be good." When Edward recites poetry, he often repeats the same line twice, which he did in this case. You do not have to be good. And I was so glad he did repeat it, because I needed to hear it again for it to really hit me. And it really did hit me. A tender love punch right to the heart. It struck me as one of the most profound things I'd ever heard, though I'd heard that poem many times before. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. The poem continues, but it could just as well stop right there. But back to BCIs. One argument in favor of them is that they will increase our efficiency and productivity at work. Isn't that another way of being good? Do we really need to be more efficient and productive? We need to save more time, do we? How's the constant kowtowing to that need worked out for us so far? Given all our other time-saving inventions, do we feel like we have enough time? No, we'll never feel like we have enough time because you can never get enough of what you don't really need. It isn't time that we need. I know the show is called Time and Other Thieves, but I actually don't believe that time is a thief. It's just a cool song lyric, and Joni Mitchell wrote it, so I love it. What we really need is the ability to live in the here and now. As Jack Kerouac said, eternity and the here and now are the exact same thing. We save time so we can kill it. And to quote Thoreau, as if you could kill time without injuring eternity. So fuck off with your efficiency. And productivity? No. I think we've produced quite enough. We certainly don't need to be more productive at this point. Obviously, we have to produce some stuff, but not at a greater rate than ever before. We need to slow it down. Slow everything the fuck down. Not to mention, we need to use our hands more, and our bodies more, and we need to interact with one another more. None of these stupid inventions, to borrow another phrase from Joni, is in support of that. And therefore we, as a species, are just going to keep getting sicker, and then keep turning to technology for a cure, and then getting that much sicker. And here's where I return to that whole what's the point question. If you've been listening for a while, you might have heard me say that it's foolish to talk about what we as a society should do. I definitely don't delude myself in thinking that humans aren't going to keep developing and refining every cool new form of technology that gets invented. There's no stopping any of it. But I'm sure as shit not going to participate. Still haven't used ChatGPT. And BCIs can fuck right on off. Hey, look at that. Turns out I did have something to write about. And to answer my own question about what's the point, I will say that it felt good to get those thoughts down and read them out loud. It satisfied something in me, and I suppose that's worth something. But I am going to stop producing these episodes on a monthly basis. Or at least I'm not going to have that expectation for myself anymore. Watch, I'll probably end up making more episodes now. Time will tell. I'll still do the occasional Instagram post, so feel free to follow me there, at Sarah B. Seeking. I hope you have a wonderful spring. This time of year in Western North Carolina is unbelievably gorgeous. Yesterday afternoon, March 29th, I sat on the front porch in a folding chair and peeled a half dozen hard-boiled eggs. And the shells came off easily in big pieces, and my dogs were with me in the sunshine and the breeze, and my husband would be home any minute, and it felt like one of the happiest moments of my life. I wish you lots of moments like that. Thanks so much for listening.